Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Wake Up World Radio. My name is James Easton, and tonight I'm speaking with Stephen Morris, who's been a very strong advocate for 9/11, the biggest lie, promoting it and submitting lots of memes and write-ups and stuff like that. So here's Steve, just a sec. Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Good. How are you, James?
I'm pretty good. I got to keep it low because my roommates are sleeping.
Okay.
Anyways,
no problem.
No problem. Well, you don't have to worry about it, but it's, I don't normally sound like this, but I'm more like blah. No, I'm
right.
Kidding. Anyways, what brought you into the fold in 9/11 what changed it all for you?
Well, to tell you the truth, the first thing I noticed is people mentioned, like from the original films and such, that it just didn't look fully realistic with the different colored backdrops and whatnot. And, you know, right after it happened, I was busy raising a family and working and such, and I didn't think all that much about it. But then over some time, you know, I started watching some YouTube videos and such, and things just didn't add up. It didn't seem to be correct. And I don't know, it took me a while to even catch on. I'd say 6 years later, you know, started to, you know, really start researching it and looking into it. And, you know, I've been checking it out ever since and looking into it. Yep. So it just evolved over time. Yep.
Right, like so 2009, you just kind of opened your eyes to this, and you realized that there was a major scam going on. I know a lot of people that sort of knew all along but didn't know what to do about it, and but you found ways to start voicing yourself, and so tell us about that.
Well, Pretty much, I just started like watching YouTube videos, see what was out there at that point in time. You know, there was a time when I had a relative who actually was going to Afghanistan, you know, to fight there. And at the time, you know, he said I'll personally go out and hunt down Bin Laden himself and take him out if he had half the chance. And he believed that hook, line, and sinker at that time that, you know, that's where it was at. And at the time, I didn't really disagree. I didn't think twice about it other than, yeah, that's where it's at. So I kind of remember at that point in time pretty much buying the official story, hook, line, and sinker. And then it just all started to change over time. Started looking into it and researching more and more. Pretty much just watching YouTube and, you know, seeing all the different theories and whatnot over, you know, what had happened. Yeah.
What are your favorite YouTube videos that you watched?
I watch them all, to be honest. I just watch everything, but you know, I love your material. Yeah.
Did you watch Zeitgeist?
I'm sorry to hear you, James.
Did you watch Zeitgeist?
I still didn't catch that. I'm sorry, it's breaking up a little bit here.
It's a German word. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's called Zeitgeist, which means time ghost. But it's got a big section on 9/11 in it, and it's really powerful, making people open their eyes. But I guess what I first saw when I started doing all this is I didn't actually start doing anything until a couple of years ago. But, of course, Loose Change, and Loose Change 2. I didn't want to pay for Loose Change 3, but there was this Corbett video. It's a 5-minute clip, and it's really sarcastic. And
James, right? Yes, indeed.
It was that, you know, that really got me. I was like, I'm going to do this too. And the fact that he had the balls to when nobody else seemed to have them. So
right.
And when did you watch 9/11, The Biggest Lie, or did you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been following them. Yeah, it's you know, it's been a couple few years, you know. I watch a lot of material, and I've watched quite a bit. I've noticed that some of your beliefs have changed as, you know, as the the later editions come out, and I see that you've kind of segued towards the no planes theory, and that's just one aspect of the whole thing. I mean, the way I see it is it's been proven that the footage, there's fakery in the video footage. So right there, there's a huge red flag that says, you know, if it's been faked, then you have to take a look at everything out there. And there's such a huge cluster of problems that there's so much to dissect and look at to really get to the bottom of everything. But I've just become suspect of everything that pretty much the mainstream media has said in their official story. You know, I'm not as a physicist or a scientist, but, you know, you know, there's evidence of, you know, like metal spheres of thermite. You know, there's evidence of explosions, first-hand responders and such. And so I just don't buy the official story at all. And, in the beginning, you know, I even bought that, you know, it was Osama bin Laden. And at this point in time, I really don't think he had anything to do with it whatsoever. That he was just, you know, another boogeyman out there to blame for the overall bigger agenda.
That's right. You got it. I mean, now you know. Now you're on the spot. You realize that it was a total setup from start to finish, and that if there was to be an investigation, it would be these bad people that are in charge that would be investigating themselves. So we're at a bit of a crossroads or a predicament of sorts. So many people know what's going on at this stage, and the question is, how do we organize, and how do we meet and not just talk the same stuff that's been hashed out over and over, but come up with like some kind of solution. And I'm not asking you to do that, but if you have ideas, I'd love to hear them. Do you?
I'll tell you. I think there's a ray of hope in the young people, because in my experience, when I try to talk about the whole subject of 9/11, I find that young people are actually more awake than I thought they would be in general. And I find older folks are much more set in their ways, and it seems hard to talk reason, you know, with like seniors and whatnot. So, I had the experience of talking to a first responder who I spoke with him firsthand. I spoke with a gentleman's wife as well. And, when I started talking, my theories, even though this gentleman was a first responder, showed up after the second tower had come down, he still seemed to not, he didn't seem 100% awake, even though he actually lived through it, you know. But, of course, this was a much older gentleman. So I guess my point with this is the younger generation are, you know, more open to open their eyes and wake up, in my opinion, than seniors and whatnot, you know. So I think there's a ray of hope in the next younger generation.
Yeah, well, the New World Order is attacking them full force with all kinds of programming on television and advertising and marketing, fashion and so on, video games. They come at every single, injecting their propaganda into their wares. But I guess that's good to hear. I mean, I'm looking at Generation X. Like, I'm hoping our generation is going to make it right, sort of like Phil Collins saying that, you know. But anyway, the baby boomer generation, like you say, like older people my dad's age. I'm 40, my dad's what, 65 or something. And he's just, you know, completely a sheep. And he's mad at me, he's angry that I've gone this route. And it's sort of like I know some people that were willing and wanted to get on board with this and like explore and share ideas, and then their family finds out, and then they have to make a choice between their family and the truth of the matter. And because it's tough. It's like it's the biggest problem I think human civilization has ever faced. And it starts with 9/11 because it's like the entrance to the rabbit hole. And God forbid if we go through the whole stretch of all the bullshit since then. I mean, there's so much to say. But I focus on 9/11, and I see you're very interested in the stuff that goes on the page, and you write a lot of stuff, you submit a lot of images and stuff. I really like that. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, you're friends with Doug, and Doug's super super cool guy.
He is, no doubt about it. And yeah, he's been seriously researching for going on a couple decades. So he's in the mix and very knowledgeable. Definitely like hanging out with Mike and sharing our views with each other. Yes, indeed.
Well, the hardest thing I find is that all my personal friends and family are, you know, they're sheep, and all these people they talk to in the U.S. and other places, but mostly the U.S., are like, they're bang on, they get it, they're smart, there's so many of them too, and so I kind of wish I lived over there, but anyway, or at least cause I don't want to visit, I don't want to go down because I feel like I would be snatched up, but people tell me I'll
right.
go up there. Yeah, anyway, so, I don't know, I'm piecing together Biggest Lie 8 into one movie. And I'm
right,
and
looking forward to that very much.
Cool, it'll be a couple of days, and, so, you have a page on Facebook called The Vapor Lounge.
And I do, yes.
There. A lot of musicians in there and a lot of, good discussion, I think, and probably a lot of really cool people, that's for sure. So I posted some stuff in there and I got a lot of reactions and I was like, oh, this place is cool.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's actually a group, a side group to my Facebook. I just recently started a duplicate, a lounge club type page. So I'm going to be starting to kind of put material in that group as well. So, I'm expanding that a little bit just because it's a little bit different format when it's more of a business page rather than just like a group page. So, I'm starting to build that as well. But it's one step at a time. A little bit busy, new to having a retail, a little retail business, and, mom and pop's type store. But the lounge was our original business page, and then that's kind of segued into just the lounge group once we opened up an actual Facebook business page. That kind of like transitioned into our own personal group where, talk about what we want to talk about or do what we want to do. It's not so much product lines as it is just, a group of people, So.
Right.
Yep. That's the history of how the Vapor Lounge got started. Yep. And actually, it was my vision of a side room to our business, It was attached to our building, and we did actually rent it some time back. So we actually do have like a physical lounge room, you know. So that was sort of my vision of what the lounge room would become, you know. It kind of like has evolved over time. So, yep, that's where it's at now.
That's
and,
cool.
Yep.
So, are you related to the guy that invented Morse code?
You know, I believe there. Yes, I believe so.
That's
I haven't
cool.
done a terrific amount with genealogy, but I think yes, I think it's a strong possibility that we're related to Samuel Finley Breeze Morse. Yep.
Nice. I learned it in the Navy, and I have a fond memory of standing outside and reading a flashing light, and you know, there's a bunch of crows going caw caw. You know, like he's so distracted. That stuff stuck in my head, man. I can't get it out of my head. Morse code, definitely cool.
Yeah, it's the same spelling, you know. A lot of people, you know, it's spelled M-O-R-S-E. You know, a lot of people, you know, think it's Morris. You know, it's a little bit more common in this area, the name Morris than Morse. But, yeah, it's the same name. So I do think it's a distant relative. I have to check in with my parents on that one more time, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I believe so, you know.
Right on.
Yep.
All right, well, I want to delve back into 9/11. What were you doing on 9/11? What happened?
I do remember that. When I first heard about the towers having been hit, or the first tower having been hit, it came over the radio. I was driving at the time, and I was just returning from dropping my oldest daughter off at school. I think she may have been running a little bit late that morning. And I'll tell you, the day pretty much consisted of returning home, turning on the television, and, you know, in those days we had the VCRs, and we started, like, you know, throwing in 8-track cassette tapes and recording the news. And now we're located pretty near the Griffiths Air Force Base. We're here in central New York. And, you know, in those days, we also had the Oneida County Airport. And so we always had a lot of, you know, traffic in the air right above the city of Utica and, you know, the suburbs. And I do remember it just got really quiet out. I mean, it was, you know, we were used to seeing planes go overhead like all the time because we were within 15 miles of two airports. And so that was really different right away. But also we did travel into, you know, the city of Utica. And I do remember seeing both federal and county buildings were blocked off and had been evacuated in the area. So it was definitely a different day than any other in this area. Yeah, definitely remember it being very quiet, you know, in our area. Yep.
Nice.
And it's just,
well,
you know, yeah, Rome, Griffiths Air Force Base, pretty sure that's where NORAD's located. So we have that operation right here in our area. Yep.
Where did George Bush stop? He stopped at some major facility. I can't remember which. They touched down somewhere and they went underground and then got back in the plane. But
I don't recall the specifics on that. I think originally I think they may have said he was going to one place and went to another. But the whole thing at the school, even that whole scenario, I mean it was known publicly that he was there. And his reaction to it all seemed at the time and still seems to this day very bizarre. You know, that he would just sit there and not react and just continue on.
And holding the book upside down. Have you heard the kite steel hit, whatever the kids were chanting?
Absolutely. That in itself, yep. That's really unusual as well. Definitely. It was My Pecco, wasn't it? That was the title of the book you were reading, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. There's
yep.
This interesting 3D animation called My Pet Goat, or I Pet Goat, or something. Anyways, and there's also a really good movie called Believe Your Own Eyes. It's chock full of predictive programming about 9/11. So 9/11 and the clocks. It's in Terminator and a bunch of scenes. It's in. It wasn't so much
right.
this movie. The movie with Michael J. Fox there.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's the one. There's a number of symbolism in there. Can you think of any others?
Let's see. There's, I believe it was the Simpsons. The Simpsons had a reference to 9/11. Symbolism is huge with you know the Illuminati and such.
Yeah.
I myself, on a personal level, I don't even watch television anymore. I mean, when it comes to mainstream media news, you know, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, I don't even own cable TV here anymore. Any news or any information I want, I pretty much go online for. So I'm kind of out of the loop on the mainstream media these days. I just don't
good.
Follow it at all. Yes, indeed. Yeah, pretty much given up on television.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like if you ate donuts for 10 years, you'd be sick of donuts because that's all TV is. It's the same thing. It's like the same thing over and over. And when you figure out that most of it's been a big bullshit story, and you're a little turned off by it. And I mean, I haven't watched in 5 years at least, and don't need to. And especially with the computer, you know, you can just fuck around on Facebook or YouTube. And what's your most interesting story that you like to tell about 9/11? Like,
well,
one that you heard or.
Well, you know, there's so many interesting things about it. Let's see. Well, geez, it's hard to put my finger on any specific one, but all the stories about explosions just moments before the towers were hit, explosions in the sub basements, and